Good morning. How y'all doing? Like cotton candy. So Matt said that I would be speaking on something weird, and I take offense to that. Y'all ever heard of the black cube of Saturn? Y'all missed that meditation. He's not wrong. I talk about weird stuff. I'm a weird guy. It's fun. I'm Brian. I get bad haircuts to make people laugh. That's what I do. And we are hive-minded. Me and Matt are hive-minded. And what I'm going to say today, really, we're going to start with the same scripture he ended with, basically. And we're going to kind of peel off of that. So let's just go there. Let's just go there. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. Right? Has anybody ever been a young boy, a teenage boy? Yes. Anybody ever been around one, known one, been related to one, spent any time near one? A lot of them have one thing in common. It is a miracle that they live to adulthood, right? Should have a picture, hopefully, something up here. Case in point, look at that guy. Can y'all see that? Look at that. That's from the 1900s, kids. That's me. That's at my cousin's farm back probably, this is probably like 88, 89, something like that. And so you see that field back behind there. That was the alfalfa field. This is up in Madison County, Virginia. Beautiful, beautiful place up there. Anyway, so we go up there. We trade. I have three cousins, two girls, one's a boy. The boy, Greg, is 6 years older than me. He's like my hero, right? So, yeah, somebody like that. I'm the oldest, so he's my hero growing up. So we'd switch kids, and I'd go up for a week or two and work on the farm in the summers. And I thought it was great fun, good times, until this one summer. So we were coming back from that field. And there's a creek at the bottom. Come across the creek. We're pulling a hay wagon. And I was sitting on that fender on this side. And great fun. I was scraping mud out and throwing it at the guy in the hay wagon because that's just fun to do, right? So Greg said, all right, get a big mud ball, scoop it up, throw it at him, I'll hit the brakes, and he'll fall down, it'll hit him, it'll be fun. Oh yeah, good plan. So we did all that. Well, the next thing, I was sitting on that fender, right? So I'm facing him, but I stood up and turned around so our backs were together. I threw it, I didn't hold on to that there crossbar, and he hit the brakes. I grew up in a neighborhood. I only went there occasionally. He grew up on a tobacco farm, right? What happened was I transported to the front axle immediately. And I didn't even know how I got there. All of a sudden, I'm trying to contemplate what is going on here, right? So while I'm doing that, he's looking the other way at that guy in the hay wagon. And he pops the clutch. And that's all she wrote. The tire was on my feet immediately. And it was coming up my legs, coming up my back. It's a weird thing to think about now. The only thing I thought about is coming up my back. I'm going to die. I'm getting ready to die. That was the number one thought in my head at the time. Did I leave the iron on? Ooh. So clearly I did not. We're not going to go into whatever happened after that. I didn't break any bones or anything, but I had the bruises of the tire tread up my back. It went all the way over me. So I always joke now, like I feel like my guardian angel was like looking around. Oh my goodness. Idiot. Always got to watch you. So I think about that, right? So that was, I've done other things. I was in construction where OSHA was a four-letter word. Tie off, what? I was a whitewater rafting guy for 3 or 4 seasons. And it's just being general guy stuff, doing dumb stuff, jumping off bridges and stuff with Nate and Bud and cliffs and all that good stuff. Just doing dumb guy stuff. But that was the one time that I thought I really was going to die. I should have died, actually. I should have died. I mean, you know, that's not a lawn tractor. That's a tractor. Should have died. Really should have. So that's probably the one thing that I think, and it's crossed my mind, clearly, over the years, you know. But the thing that stands out is I didn't have time to contemplate that. There was no bravery required on my part, right? It just was sudden and unexpected. As contrasted to what Jesus had to go through, he was able to contemplate his death, right? That's a whole different ballgame. That's a whole different ballgame. So remember when he was in the garden and he withdrew with the three, and he even says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, right? A perfectly human emotion. Overwhelmed, contemplating what he had to go through. Like I said, I didn't have to contemplate that. I only had to ride through it. And another level to Jesus being able to, a couple levels to be able to Jesus contemplating his death. It wasn't just those hours leading up to that. Years. Not only did he know the hour, he knew the manner in which he was going to die. We're all faced with death, you know. My father just died this year. I was one of those people who've gone through that unexpectedly. We all know that we have a finite amount of time on this earth. And so that's always churning in the back of our minds. Jesus knew the exact hour, the exact manner. And not only that, I think the emotional aspect, the rejection of his creation. Everybody ever experienced any rejection here? That's fun. That's real fun, right? I can't even comprehend the power he had, the love he had for us to stand up under all that and go through it. Because he even prayed. Remember, he prayed, God, please take this cup from me, but not my will. Yours be done, right? That is immense, immense bravery. He was not held in slavery by his fear of death. He often urged his disciples to live without fear. You know, speaking to them before he was arrested, he said, I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me. He has no hold on me. Jesus was not scared to die. He has no hold on me because, as our original text said, he was going to destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. And that word destroy doesn't mean annihilate. It's a word, katergeo. It means to render inoperative, totally without force, and completely brought down. But not annihilated, right? Not annihilated. So we know, Scripture says, Satan prowls around, right? Like a roaring lion looking to devour. He's not annihilated, but to the Christian, he's rendered inoperative. We need to remember that. We need to understand that. And just like Matt said, that's when we say as a Christian, where death is your victory, where death is your sting. We can say that confidently. So, again, my experience didn't require any bravery. It only required physics and a whole lot of stupidity. And that's a pretty good combination for some fun stories, right? A lot of guys, some girls too, do that. I was never a veteran. I was never a police officer or a firefighter, anything of that stuff. I can't speak to those experiences. Everyone's had some experience that has brought them close to death, I'm sure. But I can tell you a whole lot about what it is to get run over by a tractor. And it's not anything you want to go through. But I would still rather be run over once a year knowing the outcome than to go through one time what Jesus went through. Yep. To experience that level. Again, not only the physical aspect, but the mental and emotional aspect. And he lived his life without being rendered useless by anxiety. That's a whole nother concept. We have things that are looming in our minds, in our lives, and we get all bound up. I'm talking about myself. I tend to do that. I'm a very emotional person. I have big feelings, right? And so sometimes you get into the state, and Jamie's real good about keeping me going, that you can be rendered useless to an extent. But if you don't have to fear death, what else do you have to fear as a Christian? There's nothing else to fear. If they can't even kill you spiritually, then what else can they do to you? The world, that is. Nothing. There's literally nothing to be afraid of. A lot of it, it's in our mind, right? We've been set free. Don't be held in bondage to that slavery anymore. We're freed from the fear of death. So, like I said, we all have a collective experience of death looming. We all know that we're going to die. We all have that end date. We don't know what it is. There's an expiration date on us. But our collective experience now requires faith. That's what it is. It comes down to faith. Faith in Scripture when it says he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. And faith when it says we have been made holy. That's a whole nother concept we don't have time to get into. But of course, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hapax. Once for all. No more. The end. Done. No fear of death. No more bondage. No more slavery. So Lord's Supper, it's not a time of fear or guilt. Punishment. It's not any of that at all. It is a celebration of love. And that's what Jesus' experience was in the face of death. His obedience to God's will because of his love for us. That's what stood him up. Now, he experienced fear. It's okay to have that feeling. It's okay to have these emotions. We're human. God made us that way. Jesus experienced that. But he wasn't held in slavery to that. He still pushed forward in spite of all that because of his love. So, of course, I feel obligated to read the passage in 1 John. You have to when you're talking about this. 1 John 4 starting at 16, middle of 16, God is love. Look, I'm breaking up the verse. Don't get mad. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence in the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. There's no reason for us to fear. We've been set free. The chains are off. We are no longer in bondage to that fear. So, the sharing the Lord's Supper is a reminder to live like that, like we've been freed from the fear of death, okay? And we can be confident in the work of Christ. And just like the writer of Hebrews says, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. So now we're going to just have a quiet time of meditation. I'll say a prayer, then we'll take the emblems together as a family. Lord, your love for us sometimes it's overwhelming. It's incomprehensible. Your scripture lays it out in so many ways, and it's so evident. It's evident in scripture. It's evident in our own personal lives. It's evident in the saints we have around us. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of the body of Christ. It's a wonderful thing to be reminded that we don't have to have fear of this world, fear of death. To be completely surrounded by love is a freeing experience and a humbling experience, and one that gives us courage to face this world. Thank you so much for this weekend, and it's time we get to see our brothers and sisters that we don't get to see very often. I pray that we can take this energy forward and continue to fight the good fight. I pray this in your son's name. Amen.